You're listening to All in a Weekend on CBC Radio 1. I'm Elizabeth Robertson. Barry Webster is a Montreal writer whose first book, The Sound of All Flesh, won the Relit Award for Best Short Story Collection. Now he's come out with a novel called The Lava in My Bones. It's a mythical, magical, sensual tale of identity, transformation, and our connection to the earth. Barry describes it more simply as a fairy tale about sex and global warming. Here's an outline. A geologist from Labrador named Sam is studying global warming. After experiencing his first same-sex relationship, he becomes obsessed with eating rocks. His sister, who's a high school student, is going through some adolescent growing pains, but not like most of us. Honey is actually oozing through her pores. Meanwhile, their mother, a religious zealot, plots against them. It's pretty wild stuff. Barry Webster just got back from New York, where the book was a finalist for the Farrell Grumley Award. And he'll be returning soon because the book is a finalist for another award there, the Lambda Literary Award. So in between this jet setting, he's found some time to stop by our studio. Barry Webster, welcome to All in a Weekend.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Between all your jet setting.
Well, sort of.
So what was it that inspired you to write this story?
Well, I wanted to write a fairy tale about global warming, basically. I think that in Canadian literature, realism is really favored. There's this type of sort of gray realism that seems to dominate. And I felt that with non-realistic fiction, in a way, you can get at certain feelings, certain emotions that are not usually expressed, particularly really extreme states of obsession and desire. I felt end up being really hidden in Canadian realism. And a lot of sort of the darker and more positive aspects of oneself that you find really buried in the subconscious, I think end up getting buried in realistic fiction. So with this kind of magic realist fairy tale aspect, I was able to explore feelings that I wouldn't have access to in a more conventional narrative.
And what about the story, though? Like the story of Sam, this geologist. I mean, it doesn't feel like it's something that just popped into your head in the shower one day. Or
right.
Did it?
Well, in a way, with him, I had this story of this obsessed person. And as I was writing it, it seemed too domestic, writing it in a kind of realistic way. And then suddenly at one point, he and his lover break up. And I just imagined, since he's Canadian and he was visiting Europe, that the entire country of Canada would deteriorate, which it does at that moment. The British Columbia gets thrown into the ocean. Quebec collapses. Fire lays waste to the wheat fields of the prairies. The tundra gets flooded. And so that sort of put in my mind that I could tell this whole story through metaphor, even though it's a realistic story, that the characters are really complex on a realistic way. The whole thing about Sue sweating honey, you could read that as a girl having issues with her body and she ends up having sex with bees. But it added this whole other dimension to it with the metaphor.
Well, and okay, let's talk a bit more about this landscape and the stuff that happens to it, because it isn't just a setting. It's the natural elements become part of the characters themselves,
yeah.
Or the characters become part of the natural elements.
Right.
It's hard to tell. And nature transforms mm-hmm. the characters. Tell me about that.
Yeah, there's no split between nature and human beings. They kind of flow into each other. There's no dividing line. Sue meets the bees in the forest. At one point, Sam gets, he walks about 2,000-3,000 miles through the forest in eastern Canada, and he magically turns into a Sasquatch. I think there's this sense of Canadian nature as being so vast and potent and powerful that it just takes over the characters and they become something else.
Mm-hmm.
I think you find this in a lot of Canadian painting with the Group of Seven or Emily Carr. You have these massive landscapes with nobody in them. And I think for myself, when I was younger in my 20s, I crisscrossed Canada a number of times by train. My father is a train driver. And the vast potency of nature, I think it kind of influenced me. And it really came out in this book. Most of it takes place in nature. Most of it takes place outside. And even though I live in a city, somehow that experience as a young person kind of really had a major effect on the book, where nature takes over everything in a really positive way. And the characters who learn to accept that they're part of nature and not separate from it are the ones that really grow as people. I have a very happy ending in the book.
Okay. Well, let's get to it. Oh, you're giving it away now.
Well, it's just...
So much for the suspense, but it's okay.
You don't know how happy or in what way. There's a big, big surprise at the end, a twist ending. But
You would think that these strange, fantastical things that happen, the magic realism, as you call it, I was thinking before I started it that it was going to make me feel a bit distant from the characters. Mm-hmm. But actually, in some ways, it made me feel much closer to them, much more aware of what was going on with their inner lives. Why is that?
Well, I'm glad that you said that, because I think that emotion and sensuality are really key in writing. It isn't just all these ideas. And, I tried to make the characters as real as possible. I think in a lot of magic realism, like in Gabriel Garcia Marquez, 100 Years of Solitude, you get characters and they change quite often. You have these massive numbers of characters you get a kind of image associated with one. Whereas in this, you really only have five characters in a rather long book. So you get to know them really deeply. And it was a major challenge, for example, in the Sue section where she starts sweating honey. After a few pages of that, I had the desire to just drop it and move on to something else or someone else. But I didn't. I stuck with it and ended up getting deeper and deeper into her character. So I think it's the fact that it seems like it's a magic realist, symbolic kind of archetypal novel. But really, the characters have all... I tried to give them all the layers that you would have in a straightforward, realistic piece. So it's kind of... I kind of try and get the best of both worlds.
Well, and there's a lot of humor in the book, too, and joy.
I was really pleased. I mentioned the happy ending, which I'm quite proud of, because we don't have that many in Canlit. I think we like...
It's not very trendy, is it?
I know. We like these gray endings. A couple of reviews, one guy, he referred to it as being joyous, which, again, I think we distrust that. It's this whole "we are the Swedes of North America" thing. We've got to be grim and repressed. The humor is really partly there as a kind of celebration of the chaotic feel of the book and of life. I think that, you know, we're sort of afraid of chaos and lack of order. We try to control everything. We try to control nature. And the book in itself kind of celebrates nature in this kind of chaotic flow that sort of produces everything. And it allows most of the characters to have a kind of epiphany, a kind of euphoria.
And was it fun to write?
Well, it was. Parts of it I really enjoyed. You know, I would laugh out loud. There's one section in the middle narrated by Franz, who I deliberately wrote as a satirical character. I really enjoyed writing from his point of view.
That's Sam's ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, and I made no attempt to make him likable, which was a lot of fun. In other sections, with the Sue section, there's a really long section narrated by the mother, who's sort of the wicked stepmother. The humor really is there, partly because it fits thematically. And a lot of the book is really written at a very high emotional pitch. Mm-hmm. And I felt that if it was just on the first write through of the book, it wasn't that funny. And I felt that it was just dissolving into romantic goo.
Melodrama.
Yeah, it became just a lot of ranting and raving. Mm-hmm. And so I added humor really all the way through. It became ingrained with it. And really, if something is funny, you can get away with anything. You can have somebody eating rocks.
Turning into a Sasquatch.
Yeah, having sex with bees, all kinds of things. And as long as there's humor there, the reader accepts it.
What are you hoping that readers will take away from this?
I think that in the book, there's a lot of shape-shifting. Characters change from one thing to the other. Sue changes a lot. She really grows as a person. Franz changes throughout the section. I think there's a sense in it that identity is something that's largely, that's very fragile, and that we really change from minute to minute, from day to day. We like to think we're born with one identity and we carry it through life. But in this book, it's constantly shifting. The point of view shifts. It suddenly becomes fantastical, a fantasy, and then it becomes realistic. There's this sense of instability in it. And I think the book is really about just accepting that we don't just have one self, we have many. and that we constantly form, we constantly develop, and nature is there as this kind of force moving through us. Because we're living at a point where we've got global warming and environmental degradation, nature in the book, that issue really comes into it, and it comes to reflect some of the psychological problems that some of the characters have in the book, usually psychological blockage, like Sue not really accepting her body, Sam not accepting friends or other people. He's quite antisocial at the beginning, and later on he becomes much more social. This largely ends up kind of being paralleled by the lack of balance in the natural world, the kind of, environmental degradation, environmental destruction, the two kind of come together. So that's kind of a major theme, is that when we destroy the earth, we kind of destroy ourselves, because we're really all the same thing.
It feels almost like you've invented a new genre. What has the response been like so far?
Well, it's been largely positive. I did meet a journalist who wanted to talk to me because she'd never seen something like this before. But I'm really amazed that it's being noticed in the United States, because the book is really Canadian. There's nothing American in it. You need to know Canadian geography. One part, a character escapes from an asylum in Toronto and walks all the way to Labrador through Quebec. You need to know all the provinces and where everything is. So I'm astonished that in New York they're reading this and nominating it for things.
Because it's so exotic, maybe.
Maybe that's it.
Barry Webster, thanks for coming in.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Barry Webster's new novel is called The Lava in My Bones, and we have a copy to give away. You can call our talkback line at 514-597-4141, or you can send us an email at weekend@montreal.cbc.ca.